We were in Ephesians, just coming off this Ephesians chapter 6 verse. And let me go ahead and read that to you. Ephesians 6 and 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. See, for Paul, praying wasn't a discipline. And I don't know about you guys, but I thought it was a discipline that you had to go make yourself do and just pray all the time, pray without ceasing. And there was a lot of times I would force myself to pray. I don't know if you guys ever did any of this stuff. But Paul didn't have to be reminded. And I hope that when we get done, I don't know how far we'll go in this, but Paul didn't have to be reminded to pray. We remind each other that all the time. Don't we? Pray for me. We pray for you. You pray for me. I mean, we used to do that all the time. I'll pray for you. Okay. I mean, I just, you know, want us to think about these things and just kind of take our time. And, you know, we said this last week. Paul didn't offer prayer to God. God offered prayer to him. God was working it in him. And it was prayer, it was Paul's participation in God's mind and God's purpose. Let this mind be in you. To Paul, prayer was the only, it was the only way that Paul could respond to what he was seeing. And I say this, and I, you know, these words are going to sound crazy, but it was like the pressure of the truth. And I know the scriptures says, take this yoke upon you. My burden is easy, my yoke is light. Or, you know, I get them mixed up sometimes. But there is pressure in the truth. It's weighty. I don't know, guys, if you've ever been into the... When I say unveiled presence of the Lord, I'm telling you, we just get a speck. But it's weighty. You can't stand in it. I'm just telling you the truth, guys. If you've ever been in it, you just can't stand in it. You're not jumping around like a frog in it. You are prostrate on the ground. It's weighty. And this truth is weighty. And it makes you a prisoner to it. Now, I mean, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord. But yet, I thought Jesus said the truth will make you free. So which is it? I used to wonder that. Well, he was, you know, Paul wasn't bound up in the sense that he was afraid God was going to bust him up or something. This truth had such gripped him and so constrained him. This view of Paul swept up into the third heaven had so consumed his life. He was a prisoner to it. Now, when you say those things, it's almost, I mean, you could just, I don't know if it's even just to add to it, but Paul was a prisoner of the glory of God. He was a prisoner of the love of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul, a prisoner, he was constrained in that love. Anything else to him was accursed. And he said, let it be accursed. Let it be accursed. He said it twice. Let it be anathema. Anything else, anything other than this, let it be accursed. Paul wasn't speaking out of anger. He just looked at those Galatians. He looked at those people and says, you are grabbing a hold. You are drinking gasoline and smoking cigarettes. Can you see all they're doing this? We went over something our Wednesday night, and I just got to touch on it again because it's been pressing on me, you know, a little bit, a whole lot. And it may be relevant to this, but just let me go to John 4. John chapter 4. That's why we may be on this prayer for a while, but that's okay. Where else would you rather go? Don't answer that. You know this this scripture, Jesus and the woman at the well. She comes out to draw from the well. Jesus is sitting on the well. Jesus says, give me to drink. She said, why do you ask me for a drink? I'm a woman of Samaria. The Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritans. You know what the Samaritans was? They were the mixture. That's what the Samaritans were. They were the mixture. You know what we are? We're the mixture. We're the mixture. See, back then you had the Jews and you had the Gentiles. And the Samaritans, they were somewhere in the middle between. They had part Jews worship and part pagan worship. Sounds like a bunch of Christians, don't it? They had all this. Now, you're going to ask me, what does this have to do with prayer? I'm going to get to something here in a minute. Jesus says, give me to drink. She says, what do you have to do with me? She don't know who this cat is. To her, he's in the way. If he'll just get off the well, I can get me something to drink and get on about my business. And I know he's a Jew. I can tell by his attire that he's a Jew. And I'm wondering what he has to do with me. Look at this question that Jesus said. If you knew the gift of God. Man, my mind has just been right there. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is speaking to you right now. I mean, can you imagine that? And guys, this ain't something, well, yeah, I know Jesus. This is a question to us continually. Do you know the gift of God and who it is that's speaking to you right now? If you begin to get a glimpse of this, prayer would bust forth out of your heart and you would say, give me to drink. Yes. See, Paul knew this, and that's why Paul lived in this. But there's something else here. The woman, she said, you don't have nothing to draw with and the well's deep. But Jesus had said, I would give you living water. But she said this. And this is where we spent a little time there Wednesday night. Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well? Now, listen to this, guys. Who gave her the well? Who gave her the well? Jacob. Who gave the well to Jacob? God did. So she ain't drinking out of something false. She's drinking out of something that was God-given. Yes. She was drinking out of something that was given to her of God Almighty. And she asked the question, are you greater? And see, there's a whole lot of things in Christianity that's God-sanctioned, God-given. I'm talking prayer. I'm talking the whole nine yards. And it poses the question, are you greater than this well we've been drinking from? I mean, Jesus said, you can keep drinking from that well and you'll thirst again. You'll have to go back every Wednesday and every Sunday to get you some more water. You'll have to call on people to pray for you all the time and you'll just keep going back to that well. And yes, it was a God-given well and it served its purpose. But I want you to understand the reason this well exists is because of me. This well that you're coming to points to me. This well wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for me. You know what she says? She says, well, you know, one of these days when Jesus comes, when the Messiah comes, we'll know everything. One of these days, what does Jesus say to her? I am He. The one that you're looking for. I am He. If you knew the gift, if you knew the gift that is in you, He's greater than the well you've been drinking from. The well that was given to you from your forefathers and your traditions handed down from Moses himself. There's one here in you greater. So when these things that I'm bringing up to you, this is the reason I'm just saying this about prayer and all these other things. Is there something greater? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The way we've been doing things and all of that, I'm just saying, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that speaketh to thee, you would ask of Him and He would give to thee living waters, lively prayer, lively hope, lively stones, made up into a spiritual house. You see, guys, this has just been so much on my mind. Don't you know this shall be called a what? A house of praise?
Yeah.
Is it a house of praise? Is it a house of worship?
Prayer.
Oh, God, everybody knows it. This is a house of prayer. Does this mean everybody's in the corner praying? I'm telling you what, it'll become a living, breathing prayer right straight out from the mind of Christ. And the overflow of this water out of your belly shall flow living waters out affecting everything. You don't think when Paul come into a town it was affected? My goodness, it was affected one way or the other. And see, when the gospel gets a hold of somebody, the real true gospel begins to, you won't be the same. One way or another, it'll tick you off. Or it'll get a hold of you. One way or the other, Clyde, you will not be the same if you're hearing the gospel.
Exactly right.
It'll stir your nest.
Yes.
It will. It'll get down in there and turn everything over. And it's supposed to. So that's why I don't get mad if people come in and they get offended and they leave. I know they've heard the gospel. And I'll let it take its course. And if you'll just let. And if you'll have patience and wait therein. It'll do its job. It'll do its job. It's had to do that in every one of us, and it's still doing it in every one of us. And now it's got us working, turning us over, kicking out the stones, pulling up the weeds, cutting away everything in this thing we call prayer that we've tried to make it. Prayer. My, my, my. And It's a tough thing, guys, because we got to go from prayer in our name to prayer in His name. And guys, everybody prays it, and we put a period on the sentence and not called in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, ever how you want to say it. That's not it. Let me just read you some scriptures of prayer here from Paul, okay? Just reading a few scriptures here. Maybe you can see some of this pressure that was in Paul's soul. And you ever just, and I do this sometimes, you ever just hug somebody and you squeeze them real hard because squeeze them real fast? Like that. You know what happens? I go, oh. I got a silly way of giving you examples. Oakley, try that. Just squeeze back in. You know? And you know what comes out? Right? That's what I'm saying was coming out of Paul. Wasn't a discipline. Okay, guys, let's gather up and pray. It was the truth was squeezing him and pressuring him, and it was just coming out. One of these things has to do with it. Now, when I was reading this, I was going and going and going, and I said, man, we got to cover this, we got to cover this, we got to cover this, we got to cover this. One of it was Paul's awareness in the situation. I mean, do you think when Jesus walked into a situation, he wasn't aware what was going on? What the need was? I made these notes yesterday, and I got right on top of the page. Ask. Question marks and underlined. Ask. You know, I don't even know how far we'll get today, but have you guys heard of this verse, ask and you shall receive? Have you asked God for anything? Everybody in here has, or you're a liar. We've asked God for everything, hadn't we? You know, I'll even say concerning this building, we've asked God to help us with the carpet. We've asked God to help us with the building, to help us with the plumbing, to help us with the roof, to help us with everything. We've asked God everything. Haven't we not? See, that's what I'm saying. He just comes in and he comes in. And then our thinking is if we don't ask, we don't receive, right? So I'm writing this ask down. Okay, take to the Lord in prayer. You know, I woke up singing, I'll take everything to the Lord in prayer. Okay, Lord, I got my list. Okay, we can go to him with some long lists sometimes. I heard this guy the other day praying on the radio, and he said, I just want to pray for all the school teachers, the police, the ambulance workers, everybody in the military, everybody in the government, everybody in the school system, everybody that works for public service. I mean, this thing went over 15 minutes. You know what? I just said, I'm praying for everybody. See, me, I cut to the chase. You know, I just make a quick sandwich. Just pray for them all. All. But I know what he's trying to do, you know. He's trying to look, you know. I know what he's trying to do. He used to do the same thing, too. Remember Clyde, and remember Jim, remember Oakley, and remember, you know, God said, Oakley, who? I got Jeff. I got Clyde, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure on this Oakley character. I could hear the Lord just say, I told you to quit asking me for him. Don't ask me for him anymore. Can't do nothing with him. I really, Lord, I can't do nothing with you either. But it was just a thing that was coming out of Paul. I don't want to go home and tell you, I want you to spend 20 minutes praying every day. I mean, we've heard, we need to pray more. Need to ask God. But have we ever thought to ask God for His desire? I mean, really, that's what I'm saying. Have we ever thought to ask God what is His pleasure, what is His will, what is His purpose, instead of bringing our stupid things to Him? Do you see what I'm talking about? So that's why I wrote ask down, because ask and you shall receive. Well, heck, I didn't know God was a great big Coke machine. I want a Dr. Pepper, and I want more money, and I want a bigger house. Nicer car. Huh? All in the name of Jesus. I'm asking now. Now I didn't receive, so what's the problem? I didn't have enough faith. Right? You didn't ask right. Let's look at each other and agree to it. Well, heck, me and Clyde's been agreeing for a long time about more money, but I ain't got none, he ain't either. We've been amen to each other for 3 years now. He's broke as I am. Something ain't right. You ain't got enough faith. You see, guys, and I want us to, we'll go there and look just a little bit. The fervent... Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's supposed to be a house of prayer, guys. Really and truly. And I just, guys, I love learning about Christ. I love learning Christ. But I also know that the overflow has to flow out. I can't make it flow out, Christ, but it has to flow out and affect things. Things can't just say the same, but we can just live in a corner, live in a hole in a wall, and read the Bible every day and learn all about it and be all well and good. But when you begin to learn Christ, begin to know Him, it changes things. Nature begins to change. Light begins to come in dark places. You know, I've been to, I don't know about you guys, but it does bother me. And I think it bothered Jesus. I believe a woman was going to a graveyard with her son in a little city of Nain. And Jesus walking by, and he stopped the funeral buyer and laid his hands up there on her, raised that. You know, he didn't want no fanfare. He gave that woman back her son and went on about his way. And guys, I just believe that we have played church long enough. When I say we, I'm talking every single one of us. I'm tired of going to funerals. Am I saying, guys, that people ain't going to die? People are going to die. One of these days, we'll bury you and you'll bury me. And that'll be all right. But I want it to be when it's time. When the Lord says, Clyde, you've run a good race, my brother. And Clyde says, amen. Let me put my feet up in the bed and gather my grandbabies, my great-grandbabies, my great-great-great-grandbabies around me and bless them and go on. It's a privilege of the Lord. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? I'm tired of going to funerals and seeing a 55-year-old church member die of cancer. I'm tired of it. Where's our prayer at? Where's the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availing anything? Christians ought not die of cancer. Makes me mad, guys. It does. It hurts me. I don't know. It makes me mad. When I see little babies crippled and hurting and Christian mamas and daddies and bring them to the church for a prayer and nothing. I'm sick of it. Really. Bothers me. I'm tired of going and burying young men and young women in their 30s and 40 years old from drug addiction. I'm just sick of it. I hate it. I hate death. It stinks. I really do, guys. Hey, when it's time, when you've lived out your purpose here, we can go and we can sing songs of joy over a funeral and not say, I'm going to miss Clyde. We can celebrate.
That's right.
We can celebrate and say, man, I was thankful to know him here. Served in the purpose of God. Glad to go out and plant that old body his back to the ram that it stayed in. But I know that ain't Clyde. Clyde's in the ram he was born in from above.
Yes.
You think he's dead? He ain't dead. He's just like an old jar fly in the hall as we're taking out there. You see? I'm just sick of it, guys. I really am. So I'm to the point where I just lay out and say, Lord. I mean, he comes to the church and he comes to the churches and he says, he comes into the church and out of his mouth goes what? A sharp, two-edged sword. To do what, Clyde? He's talking to the church. He says, guys, I need to cut some things away.
Yes.
You're ineffectual. God has become of no effect. We read that in Galatians. He's become of no effect. Brothers and sisters, today I say that Jesus has become of none effect to you. Why? Because we're grabbing a hold of something. We're grabbing a hold of something that's not him. We're grabbing a hold of something, yes, that was given to us from our forefathers and traditions and Jacob's well. But there's, if you knew the gift, if you knew the gift, and knew the one that's speaking to you, that is knocking at your door, saying, let me come into your heart, Olegay. Let me come into your heart, Derek. I've heard your cries. You've been crying all the day long, but you're bringing to me this wrong stuff. Let me give you prayer. Yeah. Don't bring yours to me. You just want them after your own mind and your own lust and your own desires and the things that you see. But you don't see what I see, because I can give you the prayer of faith. I can give you the prayer from my view. Then you'll begin to know what to pray. This is what Paul prayed. Paul come into the church and said, I know what this church needs. I pray the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That you may know him. See what I mean? So I hope if nothing else, we can just begin to sit back and let him come in and invite him come in. Listen to him on the door, not so we can be like the Shunammite woman and say, you know what, I hear him knocking, but I've already got this figured out. I put my feet up in my bed and I'm comfortable in this situation. You see what I mean? But when we hear that knock, if we hear the one speaking and knocking on our door, that we let him come into our hearts and cut and take away everything that hinders us. Guys, I'm not talking about these verbalizations of prayer. Let me say this. We have these kids running around right here, these little babies. You know, I see Kathy watching her, and I see people watching her. Let's just say this, for example. Let's say she got outside and wandered out there in the road. Let's say she got right down the hill, was out there in the middle of the road. Derek sees her out there in the middle of the road. What do you think Derek's going to do? Do you think Derek's going to say, wait a minute, let's have a prayer meeting. Let's pray that this baby's not hit by a truck. Let's have a 15-minute prayer meeting. You think that's what he's going to do? No. The prayer is going to come out of him, and he's going to rush into the situation and change it. You see, that's what prayer is, guys. That's what prayer is. We've made it, and let's go get into the corner, and let's go and ask God. No, prayer was a... You see, in this world that we live in, this world of Adamic death and smog and blindness... How can you live the life of God? How can you live that life? Prayer to Paul was breathing in that Christ, that life, and breathing out into the situations, into that death, into that fog, into that smog of stuff that we live in. I can remember, guys, been in the Marine Corps back in 1986. I flew into Los Angeles. Never been out there before. I flew in there at night, and it was pitch black dark, but yet we could see those lights, and there was a fog over that city. You've heard of the smog. It was so thick you could barely even see the lights. That's the way we live in this world. People think they see, but they don't see. He said, I counsel you to buy me eyes salve. Gold tried in the fire. I love learning of the Lord, but it becomes a pressure in you. You know, I listen to the radio all the time, and I hear that, and I'm not putting them down, but I hear their cries. You don't think God heard their cries when they were in Egypt, Clyde? Making bricks every day. And grow up, and here's what your kids can do. They can make bricks every day, and they can make bricks, and your grandkids can make bricks, and we can all make bricks. They were all making bricks right into the church. The place they've been called to is liberty. In Christ Jesus, the truth will make you free. You know, Patty was talking about Mount Zion. Guys, do you realize the highest thought of God is Mount Zion? He's brought you into his high thought. You become the very, you've been brought to that mountain. He brought you out for one purpose, to bring you in. Yeah. Not so you could die in the wilderness, not so you could die in your prayer. He brought you out so the life of his blessed son could live in you. Yes. And have increase. Yes. And have manifestation. What is manifestation? Have fruit. Yeah. My God, there's a hungry world out there. You're the branches. Where does the fruit grow, guys? The fruit don't grow on the trunk. Does it, Clyde? We have apple trees and pecan trees and chestnut trees, and our apples don't grow on the trunk of the tree. I got acres up there at my house, millions of them. None of them's on the trunk of the tree. They're on the branches. They're on the branches, guys. You're the branches. Now, I'm not saying the fruit is you, but it's the life of Christ. Hungry world. The tree the tree of life that you become. Your branches in the tree of life. Yes. Not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Not the tree where you even have to utter a word. You don't even have to say anything. Just where the fruit of Christ is, so those that are hungry can come and eat. Yes. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Yes. I believe in that. Yes. I just believe it. Yes. I just believe in that. There's more, guys. There's more to this. I'm talking natural healing. I'm not trying to get along or with that, but I really believe. Well, I don't believe it. I know it for an absolute fact. They walked in the wilderness 40 years. How many sick was there among them? They wasn't a one of them died from pneumonia. There wasn't, guys. Go read it. There wasn't a one of them had polio and died. There wasn't a one of them crippled. There wasn't none sick among them. And you know what, guys? They didn't have to go to Walmarts every day and buy them a new set of shoes. Because the shoes didn't even wear out. Clothes didn't even wear out. And you know what, guys? Out there in that wilderness, they didn't have a Walmart to go through. God fed them every day. Gave them water every day. Gave them quail. Gave them manna. Gave them everything every day. And yet, died in that spot. Can you imagine 600,000 men of fighting age? 600,000 men of fighting age. And only two come into that land that flows with milk and honey. Why is that? Why is that today? When I talk in these things, guys, I just ask questions in my mind, and you know, I could just feel the pressure of the Lord just saying to me, why? You know, when I look back and I say, well, the Lord began to reveal His Son to me about 3 years ago down at St. Paul. You've heard that story. And I can jump up and boast and say, God revealed His Son to me, but the Lord has said, why did it take you so long? I've been sitting on your well since you was 5 years old. You wouldn't hearken to me. You wouldn't give me one inch. You wanted to go to your well and drink. You know why? Why does it take you? And see, this is what I'm telling you. If we would just let the Lord come in, open that door and let Him come in and begin to cut away. Let the cross work in you. And listen, guys, you're not going to lose nothing. You're not going to lose anything. Paul said, I count it all loss. He wasn't losing anything. That's like, I don't even know how you would compare it. I just think it's like having dog crap on your shoes and getting the dog crap off your shoes. What did you lose? The stink? The smell? You want to keep the dog crap on your shoes? Fine. Because that's about what it's equivalent to. And why am I making this up? Paul said, I count it all dumb. I count it all done. Now, do you want to keep that? Or do you want to flush it away? Goodness. Let me read you a couple of these prayers. 1 Thessalonians. See, I ain't even going to get nowhere. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 9. For what thanks can we render to the God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God. This is Paul speaking out from his heart, from this pressure. Look what he says. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God, night and day, praying exceedingly. Why? That we might just see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Do you see Paul's desire for the church? That he might come to them, that he might, he sees their lack. Oh, he sees their lack. They're coming a little bit short in Christ. What do you mean? They're not seeing Christ, that he can bring them into a greater view of Christ. That's what he's talking about. How is joy, how he longed for that. Let me go to Philippians. Philippians 1. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. God is my record. God is my witness. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels and the mercies, in the affections of Jesus Christ. Do you see what Paul's heart is towards the church, towards the body of Christ? Oh, goodness. When God begins to put this in there, because see what Paul seen was, he didn't see a bunch of church members. That ain't what Paul seen. Paul saw the body of one, the body of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what he saw. And Paul would see, just like in my own body, if my foot is hurting, my whole body is affected. Right? If my hand falls asleep, my whole body is affected. And it's useless. And you guys ever go to the movies and your foot falls asleep? Sitting around in the bed or something, your foot falls asleep. Can you just get up and walk out? No. Your whole body is waiting right there for that foot to wake up, isn't it? Trying to shake and do everything he can. Paul's desire for that. I mean, Jesus would tell his disciples, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watching. Didn't we read that with Paul? Watching. The all prayer, watching. Could you not watch with me? Watching, watching. That you don't fall asleep. Let me give you this other one here. Colossians 1. And 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Do you see what Paul is asking here? He's not asking. He's asking for God's will. You ask and you receive not, because why? You ask it according to your own will and your own name and your own nature. Paul's praying for the will of God. It's all difference in the world, guys. It's night and day difference. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let me go to Romans. Romans 1. Verse 9. For God is my witness. We just read that a minute ago in Philippians. God is my witness. God is my record, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Can you see? Oh, I wish the Lord would give us a view of his body. A view of his body. And see that he's got one body. I mean, you go read one body, one Lord. One hope of your calling. One body. if people began to get a hold of that, you know, I was talking a little bit on that radio show. Let me mention this. If people could begin to understand the purpose of God. The purpose of God, this goes right back to Genesis. When God, He made everything. And He made it after His own kind. So that it could reproduce after its own kind. But when He made Adam, there was no like kind for Adam to reproduce. Adam couldn't reproduce. There was no helpmate for him. And He said, it's not good for Adam to be alone. It's not good for him not to have a helpmate. It's not good for him to abide alone. Except the corn and wheat fall into the ground and die, it does what? It abides alone. It's not good for it to abide alone. So what did God do? This is before sin ever even entered in. So what did God do? He put him in a deep sleep, Clyde. Pierced his side and took out from his own life a helpmate for him. A suitable partner. That he might bring forth after his own kind. That's the purpose of God, that he might have increase. And that's what Adam did. He increased. And he increased, of course, in the fallen nature after his own kind and likeness. And God called their name Adam. When Christ came here, guys, there was no suitable partner. All creation was brought before him. He went about up and down the coast everywhere. And there was no suitable partner for him to bring about an increase. And he stood there and said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and died, abideth alone. But there was none worthy, none clean, not a suitable partner for him. So what did God do? Put him to sleep. Put him to sleep, and out from his side brought forth a bride right out of his heart. Why? For the increase, for the man child, that they might come and they might bring forth after their own kind. And I mean, the scripture says when Adam saw Eve, Adam named her Eve. God didn't call her Eve. Adam named her Eve. God called their name Adam. And he said, she's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Therefore, she is to be called woman. Paul says the husband is the head of the wife. But then he says, guys, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. You want to know what marriage is? It ain't between a man and a woman. It's between the head and the body. That's the real marriage. The rest of them are only type and shadow pointing to that one. He said, Moses gave a bill of divorcement. He said, in the beginning, it wasn't so. What do you mean in the beginning? I'm talking in the beginning before sin entered in. It wasn't so. It wasn't even thought of. Because divorce would have been cutting the head off. They wouldn't even think about that. I mean, that would have been the death of both. Because of the hardness of their heart. You know, I haven't even got to my notes, but I'm going to just go read you something here. We can get to them next time. I'll read this and we'll... call it a day. And we'll be in 1 Samuel. I don't even know where we'll go with this. I ain't studied it out. I know the Lord's just been it on my mind for 3 weeks to just read it. So we'll just read it. Now there was a captain, there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, I can't pronounce it, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zophu, an Ephratite. And he had two wives. Man, I can see something right here. I can see, as Paul said, this is just another picture of Abraham and his two wives. The two covenants, he would say. He had two wives. The name of one of them was Hannah. The name of the other, Peninnah. I mean, I could just see Jerusalem, which now is, producing all these children. And Peninnah had children, and Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of a city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and all her daughters. Isn't that just the way it is? He's got two wives, and one of them is getting everything. Now remember guys, we got two wells right here, don't we? We got Jacob's well. Man, people's been drinking from Jacob's well for years, and we got this other bummy guy sitting here. We don't know, all we know is he's in the way. But Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut her womb. I mean, think about this woman at the well getting her worthy portion. Man, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's speaking with you, my God. The Lord loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut her womb. Isn't this amazing? The Lord loved her and shut her womb. I thank God the Lord has shut our wombs. Clyde, we've produced enough. We've produced enough after the wrong kind. And God shuts that womb because he's going to bring something forth that you can't bring forth. He's going to do a work that you ain't got no part of. He's going to do a work that you don't even believe in. You hear it in the background and you think it can't be so. This guy's crazy. Isn't that what Sarah said? This guy's crazy. Matter of fact, you're going to name your son crazy. His name's going to be Laughter because you laughed. Her adversary provoked her. Provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. See, beforehand, I know, and I would go to the Lord and I would wonder why. Why have you done this thing to me, Lord? You ever wondered that? Why have you done this thing to me? We used to rate our Christian services and everything on how many baptisms we'd go to a year and how many children we'd bring forth. And I baptized 14, I baptized 13, I baptized this, and old Jimbo ain't baptizing nobody. It ain't right. I don't know if you've ever been fretting before. But I have. The Lord will put you in that situation because he's wanting to bring forth something. It's his desire, praying for God's will, that you would know his will. And as he did so, year by year, when he went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? My God, isn't that what they come down there to the tomb and said there? Woman, why weepest thou? Whom do you seek? Why weepest thou? The angel speaking to the woman, Clyde, why do you weep? What is it you want? Have you been brought in that situation where you're weeping for nothing but the Lord himself? My God, what did the woman say? Where is he? Where's his body? My God, I wish people would get up in the morning and say, where's his body gathering? Because I want to go be where they are.
Yes.
My God, because where the body is, the head is also, because they're not separate. Where is his body? And the angel is telling him, go here, go there, they're here. My God, I wish people would wake up in the morning with that cry on their heart. Yeah. Where's days in my prayer that I'm longing to be with you. Paul was saying, where's the body? I know they're all there in Thessalonica. I want to go, Lord. I want to be with them. Where's the body? God, body. Why don't you eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Am I not better to you than the law? Am I not better to you than Jacob's well? Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, and now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. We can go on and read that, oh Eli, he was the old man. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give thine handmaid a man child, not a baby. She wasn't playing for a little baby. I want a man. My God. Then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there should be no razor come upon his head. Do you see what in the world she's doing? Who do you think provoked this prayer in her? It was God Almighty that put this prayer in her. God Almighty, because what do you mean, God Almighty? Because God is looking in her soul, and God knows the affliction in her soul, and God knows what she needs. She needs a man type, so he's just, it's pressure in her that's just coming out saying, God, you know the affliction of my soul. I'm just praying for a man child. Do you see? God knew what her need was. God knows your needs before you even know how to ask, does he not? And he knows what your need is. You need a man child. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. And now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. My God, I thought everybody had to hear my prayer. She's just sitting over there in the corner with her mouth closed. And Eli thought she was drunk. Eli said to her, how long will thou be drunk and put away the wine from thee? Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Think about what this woman is doing. She's pouring out her soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of thy abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. The God of Israel grant thy petition that thou ask of him. My God, Eli, the old man, the priest that's gone blind, didn't have a clue what he just said right there, because he just ended his career. He just brought about the destruction of the natural Jerusalem. He just brought about the destruction of all of them other ones, the earthly Jerusalem and all of her children. She said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up early in the morning, worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah's wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come. I thought, my God, didn't we read this over here with Sarah in a set time, an appointed time, the time of life? It's the appointed time. That appointed time was 2,000 years ago. That appointed time, you've been brought right into that appointed time. That appointed time that has its glory in a place called Mount Zion. That's where you've been brought right to it. Yes. After that, Hannah conceived and bare a son. She called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. And Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. Man, there's so much here. There is so much here. See, right now, but until the child's weaned, two of them live in the house together. Isaac and Ishmael live in the house together until Isaac was weaned. And then that's when they begin to mock. And that's when, I'm going to stay right here until this child is weaned. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. See, she didn't have nothing to offer the Lord except what the Lord had already given her. Same thing as Abraham. Take now thy son, thine only son. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seemeth good to thee. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. The child was young. They slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as my soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee praying unto the Lord. I love how the Lord answers these things. I mean, look at her confession. She don't even have a name, does she? I'm the one that was praying. I was praying for this child. For this child I prayed unto the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Now bring that right over. Ask and ye shall receive. Now bring that right over. Now we've got something to ask for, don't we? What are we asking for? Asking for the Son. And it's the God, Father's good pleasure to do what? Give you that Son. We're asking for cars and new shoes and houses and money and carpet and everything else. And he says, my God, I could give you all them things. But here's the most precious gift. If you just knew the gift that I have to offer you, why would you want something less? My God, I'm giving you the most precious thing that there is ever that your mind can't even comprehend. I'm offering that gift to you. Let me just go to chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted. I mean, just think about this. What this woman got in her son, in her son that she prayed for. This is what she got. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. There ain't even no comparison, Derek. There ain't some good rocks and some bad rocks, and this one's a little. There is no rock that can compare to my Lord. None. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven. She that hath many children is wax feeble. I see it all changing right here. All because she brought forth one, a man child. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and he bringeth up. My God, who do you think she's talking about? This wasn't just a man child named Samuel. Samuel was just type and shadow of the man child that this little woman Mary brought forth. But something else that this little mother called earth brought forth. What do you mean? Where was Jesus buried? Right in the heart of the earth. And she sprung forth on the third day and brought forth another son. See what I'm saying? The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and he lifteth up. Who did he do all this to? It's the same one that descended, also ascended, that he might do what? Fill all things, that Christ may be all and in all. It's God who does these things, and he's doing it with this one son. And your prayer is bringing you into participation with this one. Breathing out, breathing in. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. Who was the poor he raised up, guys? It wasn't me and you. It was his blessed son who was rich yet became poor for your sakes, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Lifted up the beggar from the dunghill. Guys, ever read Psalms? You know what Psalms are? Psalms are the burial songs. It's the song sung when Jesus was buried. Go read them. It was all about David, wasn't it? David, mine enemies. David, the mighty warrior. The mighty warrior, right? They're waiting on David to come. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures right here. David, the mighty warrior, the conquering king. Look what he says. I told you these are the burying songs. Psalms 4:1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. You sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Look at verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. I told you these were burial songs. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. These are songs of the burial. These are prayers of David. These are the prayers of Jesus Christ that pressed upon David's heart that became a song. And he sung out these songs right here, but this was the cry of Jesus. Let me give you another one. Psalms 5 and three. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer to thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. Fools shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward the holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. What's he asking now? Lead me, O Lord. This is Jesus, the Son of God. What was his prayer? Asking for his Father to lead him. He's asking for his Father to let him dwell in safety. He's asking for his Father's righteousness. He's asking for everything of his Father. Jesus even said that the things that I do, they're not my own. The things that I speak are not my own. Everything I do, I receive from the Father. What made David a mighty warrior? Because everything he received from God Almighty. The branch. The branch. The branch receives everything. Let me finish reading this and I'll get out of the way. He raises up the poor out of the dust. He lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set among the princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's and he has set the world upon them. Guys, I'm talking about a new creation that he's the foundation of. You see what I'm talking about? He will keep the feet of his saints. And the wicked shall be silent whereat in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. My God, who is his anointed? His anointed is the one who came and sat down there. And the woman broke through with the most precious thing that she had, an alabaster box full of precious ointment. She broke that, didn't she? My God, see, I love that. You could fall upon the rock and be broken. Or the rock could fall upon you and you could be crushed. She fell upon the rock and her alabaster box was broken. And she anointed Jesus with this precious oil. This very one anointed him. just, her tears anointed his feet. And she dried them off with the hairs of her head. And she put that all on his head. You know what he was anointed for, guys? He was anointed for death. He was anointed for death. Why? Because it's not good for you to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. There was no suitable partner. So this man had to be anointed. He had to be put to sleep. What a great privilege to come and anoint this king for death. My God. So you see what I'm talking about? She came and anointed him for his death. I wonder, she's the same one that come looking for that body that she anointed. How precious was that body that she anointed, that she comes down here to this place looking for that very body that she anointed. And what did the church world say to her? My God, we could have sold this money. We could have sold this perfume for so much money and gave it to the poor, because that's what it's all about. No, it ain't. It's about the anointment of this precious body. Because it's this precious body that is raised up out of the dunghill, that has brought the beggar to be exalted, that his horn may shine, that he may bring us to Mount Zion, where he alone is exalted.
Yes, yes.
My God, that alley, that belly would flow rivers of living water. You know, I hope the Lord will press upon us his prayer, his will, his desire. I mean, I do, Clyde. I just hope I can just feel him squeezing me. Then I just breathe out. Ugh. Now think about what I'm telling you. It sounds funny, but Paul said this in Romans chapter 8. We know not how to pray or what to pray for. But the Spirit worketh in us with what? Groanings that cannot even be uttered. Words that cannot be spoken. Do you feel it? The prayer of the Holy Spirit. In me, and I see it. And when you become aware, when awake, oh sleeper, awake, you see in these situations, and then what happens? You can breathe into the situation. Don't try to bring your intellectual vocabulary into it. You can just breathe into the situation. And you know what? When you leave here, you will be going right into those situations. Ask. Ask what? What is the Lord's will in this situation? I can tell you what it is, that His Son be manifest.
Yes.
It's very simple. That His Son be manifest here. And guess what? You're the branch that the fruit is going to come out of. Man, this is the high calling. Not a low calling, Derek. Not a mediocre calling. This is the high calling of God. Lord of my God. Just let that Paul said, the high calling. You've been called to something. You've been born again, not so you can get out of a circumstance, so the Christ life can be manifested. You know, I think about it. You know, Lane works with kind of people like that all the time. We're all around it. Derek don't have healthy people coming to get where he's at work. They ain't one of them healthy coming there. Every one of us in need of something. And we sign it, we give it to them. But what do they need, Derek? Every time you can just breathe out Christ to every one of them. What a great privilege to be in the places that you guys are. God has put you right there for a reason, that He might manifest His life there, not yours. Man, what a great privilege. Lord, work in us that sword. Cut away us from it. We don't even have to say nothing there. We don't have to say nothing, Lane. We can just breathe Christ in that area. Just breathe Him out. My Lord, thank y'all so much. Let me get out of the way.